Hi everyone, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 58, Yom Tov Sheni, part 1. We're working with a source sheet that you can download at our website. That's at www.frihofinstitute.org/podcast. We're familiar with Yom Tov Sheni, the second festival day traditionally observed by Galuyot, Jewish communities outside of Eretz Yisrael. Basically, every Yom Tov, every festival day ordained by the Torah, becomes 2 days. And we know that this has something to do with doubt, that is, uncertainty over the calendar, over just which out of 2 possible days is the festival day, so that we observe both days just to be on the safe side. Which raises the obvious question. Since nowadays there is no doubt, because we can determine the Jewish calendar with mathematical precision, why do many Jews, traditional Jews in the diaspora, continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni? Well, let's look at the sugya in the Talmud, Masechet Beitza, page 4b, line 3 of the source sheet. Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galuyot, Rav Amar Nolda Bazeh Muteret Bazeh, V'Rav Asi Amar Nolda Bazeh Asura Bezeh. It was stated concerning the two festival days of the diaspora. Rav says an egg laid on the first festival day is permitted for eating on the second, while Rav Asi says an egg laid on the first day is forbidden on the second. We're talking about eggs. Indeed, the name of the Masechet Beitza means egg, because of the concept called muktzeh, which here means a thing not prepared in advance for use or consumption on Yom Tov, and for that reason is forbidden until the festival day ends. Clearly, an egg laid on a festival day is forbidden that day because it wasn't set aside prior to the onset of Yom Tov. But if the egg is laid on the first day of Yom Tov in the diaspora, is it permitted on the second day? In other words, we're really talking about the sanctity of that second day. Is it really Yom Tov at all? Rav says if a chicken lays an egg on the first day of Yom Tov, and by the way, in this case, we know that the chicken definitely comes first, go ahead and eat the egg on day 2. Rashi explains, beginning on line 12, in temple times, Rosh Chodesh, the new moon or first day of the month, was officially declared by the Sanhedrin, the Beit Din HaGadol in Jerusalem. The court would accept the testimony of eyewitnesses that they had seen the new moon the previous evening. Now, this could happen on either of 2 days, since everybody knew the new moon appears either on the 30th or the 31st day since the previous new moon. In certain months that contain holidays, the Beit Din would send messengers to inform the people just which day had been declared Rosh Chodesh, so that they could count the right number of days until the holiday. But, problem, most of the diaspora, and we mean primarily Babylonia here, lay beyond a 2-week journey for those messengers from Jerusalem, and in the months of Tishrei and Nisan, this meant that the diaspora communities could not learn when Rosh Chodesh was before the onset of the festivals of Sukkot and Pesach that begin on the 15th day of those 2 months. So, which day is the 15th? Since there were 2 possibilities for Rosh Chodesh, there were 2 possibilities for Yom Tov. Out of this uncertainty, this safek, the diaspora communities began to observe both days as Yom Tov. But since only one of those days really is the 15th of the month, really is Yom Tov, Rav says you can eat the egg on day 2, because in Rashi's words, miman nafsha sharia, whichever way you look at it, the egg is permitted. If day 1 is really Yom Tov, there's no prohibition against eating the egg on the second non-holy day. And if day 2 is really Yom Tov, then the egg laid on the first day is prepared for consumption on the day that's really the festival. So, since Rav Asi rules, on the other hand, that it's forbidden to eat the egg on the second day, the Talmud asks, we're on line 29, Lema kasava Rav Asi kedusha achati. So can we say that Rav Asi holds that the 2 days are equally holy, one continuous span of sanctity, so that the prohibition of the first day extends to the second? Now again, Rashi explains the thinking behind this assumption. We're on lines 35 and 38. What Rav Asi presumably holds is that Chachamim Kiva'um, the second day of Yom Tov, was not something that the diaspora communities created on their own out of their uncertainty about the calendar, but rather it was enacted, legislated for the diaspora by the sages, the Chachamim, the Beit Din HaGadol, lidorot, in perpetuity, mahmat safeg zeh, on account of this uncertainty. That rabbinic takana had the force of turning the second day of the festival into a full-fledged Yom Tov, or, as Rashi tells us, the second half of one long holy day. So, the egg laid on the first day is still forbidden on the second day. Okay, but the Talmud questions this assumption because, as we see on lines 43 and 45, Rav Asi's practice was to say Havdalah at the end of the first day of Yom Tov, marking the distinction ben kodesh lechol, between the holy and the non-holy day, even though, as a good Babylonian, he certainly observed Yom Tov Sheni. So, how do we explain this apparent contradiction? The Talmud suggests, lines 48 and 50, Rav Asi safoki misfekale, va'avid hacha lechumra v'hacha lechumra. Rav Asi was uncertain, so he observed both matters stringently. Rashi, lines 55 and 59, Rav Asi is uncertain about the historical origin of Yom Tov Sheni. On the one hand, as we've already seen, it's possible that the observance is Chok Chachamim, a law, a takana of the sages. If that's the case, then Yom Tov Sheni no longer has anything to do with Safek, uncertainty as to which day was declared to be Rosh Chodesh. It's now, thanks to the sages, a two-day observance period. Whether we know what day it is or not, both days are equally holy, equally Yom Tov, so that when it comes to the egg laid on the first day, one should be stringent and not eat it on the second. And on the other hand, Rav Asi thinks that maybe it's possible that Rav is right, that Asa'um me'alehen misafek, the diaspora communities created the two-day Yom Tov on their own, informally, as an emergency measure to deal with their uncertainty over which day is really the festival. In that case, the second day of Yom Tov does not enjoy the same status as the first, so better to be stringent and recite Havdalah in between the 2 days. Now, back to the Talmud, we're on line 68. Amar Rabbi Zera, Kivate de Rav Asi Mistabra. Rabbi Zera says, reason supports Rav Asi's position, meaning that the egg is forbidden on the second day, since today we know how to determine the calendar mathematically, and yet we still observe two festival days. That is, Rabbi Zera thinks that Yom Tov Sheni originated as a rabbinic takana rather than an informal emergency measure, so we still observe it even if our uncertainty about the calendar has disappeared. Meanwhile, line 73, Amar Abaye, Kavate de Rav Mistabra. Abai says, reason supports Rav's position, meaning that you're allowed to eat the egg because only one of the 2 days of Yom Tov is holy. Now, he learns this from Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, which recounts how the Sanhedrin used to inform the Jewish world that Rosh Chodesh had been declared. They did it first through a network of beacons or torches placed strategically on hilltops, so that when the torch was waved back and forth, up and down, on hilltop number one, that would be in Jerusalem, those on hilltop number two would do the same, and then so forth and so on from hilltop to hilltop until the message reached all the way to Babylonia that very night. This was an ingenious system, but it had to be abandoned because the Samaritans, and these were not good Samaritans, but bad Samaritans, very bad Samaritans, the Samaritans maliciously interfered by lighting torches on the 30th night of the old month, even if the Beit Din had not declared Rosh Chodesh that night. Well, that meant the system, no matter how ingenious, was no longer reliable, so it had to be replaced with messengers. Abaye deduces from this that Yom Tov Sheni was invented because the messengers couldn't reach all Babylonian Jewish communities within 2 weeks before Yom Tov on the 15th of the new month. If only those bad Samaritans would stop messing around, all of us in Babylonia would go back to observing one day. In other words, Yom Tov Sheni is an emergency measure and not a permanent rabbinic ordinance. So only one of the 2 days is really sacred, that is, really Yom Tov. All of which brings us to the Talmud's question in line 81. V'hashdi diyadinan b'kviya diyalcha, maitama avdinan treyome. So now that we know how to determine the calendar, that is, by mathematical formula, what is the reason for our observance of 2 days of Yom Tov? Well, the answer at line 86, Mishum dishalchu mitam. Hizaharu b'minhag avotechem bideichem. Because they, that is, the Beit Din HaGadol, sent word from there, that is, Eretz Yisrael, take care to preserve your ancestral custom. For one day, the government might issue a decree which could lead to confusion. Confusion? Well, back to Rashi, line 91. The fear is that some government one day will issue a decree prohibiting the study of Torah. Now, since Torah here includes the Sod HaIbur, the mathematical formula for determining the lunar calendar and the length of its months, we'll eventually get the dates of the festivals wrong and conclude Pesach one day early, which means that we'd be eating chametz on a day that's forbidden, and that's a transgression punishable by karet. So that's a pretty big deal. This, it turns out, is the reason many Jews still observe a second day of Yom Tov. Not because they or we don't know what day it is, of course we know what day it is, but because the ancient Sanhedrin issued that decree out of concern that someday, in the diaspora, under some set of circumstances, we might not know what day it is. Now, there's a lot more to be said about all this. For example, what does this rabbinic decree mean for us today? And why do we progressive Jews tend to ignore it? But we're going to have to wait to say all of that until our next installment. Until then, this has been the 12-Minute Shiur from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.